This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The St. Louis Bach Society chorus with the first stanza of the hymn, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. Well, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Now, often we feel guilt, and we've talked about this many times here on Issues Etc. We feel guilt on the subject of prayer. Now, and that's largely based upon the fact that we know, and it's clearly taught in Scripture, that God wants us to pray. He desires that His children, as Luther would say, ask Him as a dear father asks, or as dear children ask their dear father. Why does He want us to pray? He wants us to. Is there some need in Him that we fulfill in praying to Him? That doesn't seem right. Does He want us to pray because it's some kind of obligation He's laid upon us? Now, those are important questions, because if you understand why it is God wants you to pray, then maybe you can pray without the guilt, and maybe it won't be the guilt that drives you to pray. Joining us to talk about prayer, Pastor David Kind. He's pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he's author of an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled, A Beautiful Thing. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
That's a great question to begin with, I think, how you begin your article as well. Why does God want us to pray?
Yeah, well, in your introduction, I mean, I think you hit upon a lot of the false conceptions that people have about prayer, that it's, like you said, like, I'm obligated, or God needs it in some way. And, you know, a lot of people go at it that way. But if you think about it, you said it doesn't seem right, and it isn't right, because God doesn't need anything from us. I mean, that's part of what being God is, right? You have everything. You can do everything. I'm reminded of Psalm 50 here, where he says, look, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The whole earth is mine and everything that's in it. So there's not some need in God that our prayer fulfills. But I think it goes rather to the character of God himself. You know, what kind of God do we have? We have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who saved us from our sins, who basically wants to be God to us, who wants to give to us. So when God calls us to pray, He's calling us not just to fulfill an obligation, but to open ourselves up to His giving. That's really what it's about.
So it's more fundamental even than prayer itself. It is a right understanding of who God is and who God is for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember one of the church fathers, and I can't remember who it was, it might have been Irenaeus, said that God created mankind in order so that He could have somebody to bestow His love upon. You know, there's this aspect of the Trinity that has love within it, but for love to be real love, it has to have an object outside of itself. And so God creates man in His own image so that He can have someone to bestow His blessings upon, so He can have someone to show love to. We ruined all that, of course, in sin. We turned away from God. But God wants us to be open to Him, and that's one of the parts of faith, is having an openness to God's giving, and faith prays that way, that it's looking to God to give all good things.
I guess the other objection or question that is raised almost immediately upon answering this one rightly is, well, look, if He is God, and of course He doesn't need us to pray to Him, But also being God means he knows what we need, then why do we need to pray if he already knows?
Yeah, I think it's not that God doesn't know, because God certainly knows what we need before we even mouth it. It's more that we need to know. We need to know what we need, and we need to think about our needs and lay them before God as an act of faith. And God has complete knowledge of everything we need. He already knows what he's going to do for us, what he wills to do for us. The question really is, are we in a stance to receive? Are we looking to him in faith, or are we shutting ourselves off from him by ignoring him and by turning to other things, just like Adam and Eve did?
So is it really as simple as, and I think we've often kind of come across this ground here on the program before we talk about prayer, is it really as simple as, he doesn't answer because we pray because he answers?
I think that's one way to put it, yes. I haven't used that phrase myself, but I'm going to steal that from you.
It's free. It's open source. Don't worry about it. All right. If we have a loving and an answering God, it's in his nature to love, to answer, to come to our aid, to do all of these things. This is who he is in himself. How then does that kind of fundamentally change the way we think about prayer?
Well, I think it changes it on many levels. First of all, it gives us a reason to want to pray. Even when we don't feel like we're maybe worthy of God. And that, I think, is one of the great difficulties of prayer, is that we know we're supposed to pray, we know it's good for us, but we look at this task and we go, how in the world am I going to speak to God? I mean, I'm a sinner, I've done horrible things, I'm not in the right place, God doesn't want to listen to me. But if you look at it a different way, not what am I bringing to God or am I worthy of God, but how is God toward me, that he's gracious, that he's giving, that he longs to bestow blessings upon me, suddenly I have a confidence in prayer. Okay, not only has he commanded me, so I know that I should do it, but I know that I'm acceptable to him because he loves me and he's already given his son for me. He's already given Christ. Why will he not also give me every good thing that I need? Why would he turn away my prayers when he's already purchased me with his son's own blood?
Pastor David Kind is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him on prayer. By the way, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, this being the last day, is a little book on prayer. It's a great little book on prayer. From the pen of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther and translated for you by Pastor Matt Harrison, A Simple Way to Pray is Luther's kind of homespun, actually scripture spun, but very homey, down-to-earth advice to Peter, his barber, how to pray. A Simple Way to Pray from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also call them, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, A Simple Way to Pray.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means and grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Lutheran schools offer so much. Strong values for life.
A balance of academics and spiritual development.
Theologically trained teachers.
And learning God's love every day.
There are plenty of reasons to celebrate our Lutheran schools. Here at Concordia Publishing House, we believe that Lutheran schools are the future of our church. Year after year, Lutheran teachers build lifelong Christians for service, so join us as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. Every day from January 27th to February 3rd, CPH will offer a new discount on teaching resources. That's 5 days of savings on gifts, books, and toys perfect for Lutheran classrooms. So visit cph.org to take advantage of these special offers to support your mission. We love our Lutheran schools and pray that you have a blessed National Lutheran Schools Week.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
We got to pray just to make it today. Now I just think that you can do whatever you want.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about prayer. Pastor David Kind is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, January the 31st, and he's author of an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Beautiful Thing. So now that we've kind of reoriented our way of thinking about God and therefore about prayer, let's talk a bit about the fact that there is an assurance for the Christian praying that is that really takes it all out of our hands and lays the assurance of hearing and answering and trusting God for the whatever the answer may be that no other religion could possibly offer, and that is Jesus himself. Talk about Jesus telling us to pray in his name.
Sure. This is from John 14, where he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. And that is a wonderful blessing that Christians have, that we can know that we can pray with confidence to Jesus, or through Jesus' name, to the Father, and that prayer will be answered, that God will give us the things we need. Now, there's also a lot of confusion about that. When I teach my catechism kids about this verse, I tell them I have a favorite prayer that I like to pray that never goes answered, and it goes like this: please, God, give me a brand new Jaguar to drive. So far, I have no Jaguar in my driveway. I've been praying that for years, not really, but in class at least I have been, to show them this example. Well, that's a prayer, even though I say in Jesus' name at the end of it, that's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not like it's a magical phrase that you can just sort of name it and claim it by putting his name on it. To pray in Jesus' name really means to pray from faith, to pray as one who bears his name, one who's been baptized. So how do the baptized pray? That's the real question with this verse. Well, they pray for the things that faithful people want, the things that Jesus has revealed.
So we're talking about explicit promises, aren't we? I mean, we're not talking about just coming up with an idea of what you might want. How
no,
desperately
not at
all. Might want it, but Scripture's promises, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, what sort of things do the baptized want? Well, they want the Word of God. They want salvation. They want salvation for their neighbors. They want good things for people around them. They want God's blessings that He's promised to give. So we always look to the Word first. We look to the Scriptures to see what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name, and the Scriptures give us all kinds of things that are pleasing to God, that we know He wants for us. And when we pray those things in faith as the baptized, we also know that we'll receive them.
What about what to say? Because I think it's kind of goes alongside of like public speaking or something along those lines, where people don't like to be put on the spot to pray. They may well pray silently on their own hearts, but if you've had a, you know what it's like. You've had a Bible class and you've kind of thoughtlessly asked someone to pray, and you get a look like, you know, you've asked them to, you know, perform a scene from Macbeth or something like that. What about what to say?
Yeah, that kind of goes right up there with, you know, which would you rather do, die or speak publicly? And most people pick die. you know, we aren't left on our own with this. We don't have to necessarily come up with our own words. Good prayers generally don't start just from what's inside of us, but they start from what God has revealed to us, what God has said. So I always teach people that, when you're struggling to learn how to pray, you need to look at the Scriptures and simply repeat back to God the words He said to us. Claim His promises there. If He says, I promise to give you something, then you say, Lord, You've promised this in Your Word. Therefore, grant us such and such. And the Scriptures inform our prayers then, and also form them, so that eventually it becomes second nature, that we look to something in God's Word that we can hold on to, that gives us a confidence to know we're praying in Jesus' name. And that's where we start.
What about the actual prayers in Scripture themselves as well?
Oh, the Scriptures are a treasury. The Psalms, I mean, there's 150 Psalms there. Each one can be prayed and is intended as a prayer. There's the prayer of Jesus, the Our Father. There's other prayers in the Scripture. So you have really an endless source of material here that you can use when you're struggling for the words to pray. I often find that I'm turning to the Psalms and simply repeating what's there. And as you do this, they become yours over time. At first, it may seem awkward. Maybe this psalm doesn't really say exactly what I want. But as you learn them and as you use them day in and day out, this becomes your vocabulary. This becomes your treasury of prayer.
Some would say, and I think it is kind of part of popular piety, that to pray these things straight out of the Scriptures can't possibly be as good, or maybe even as sincere, something along those lines, as a prayer that I come up with on my own. What are your pastoral thoughts there?
Well, I turn to the Scriptures on this. What do the Scriptures say come out of a man's heart? It's all kinds of horrible stuff. The heart is, if we open up our heart to God, what's He going to find there? He's going to find sin. He's going to find rebellion. He's going to find all kinds of things that He doesn't really want. Now, our hearts are transformed by the Word of God, by His grace, by the Holy Spirit working in us. That's true. But we still don't come to God with the poverty of our hearts. We come to Him with hearts that have been changed, with hearts that now speak His language because He's put it in them. And that language is the language of the Scriptures. So to say that a Christian's prayer of the heart can't flow from the Scriptures and be genuine just flies in the face of everything the Scriptures tell us about how our hearts are transformed and about what it means to be a Christian.
We've talked about why we pray, what to pray for, and the way to pray. Sometimes it isn't so much a matter of not coming up with the words. It's not even feeling able to. And sometimes it's when we need to pray the most. Talk about those times when I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to pray.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two struggles there that go on. One is people are often afraid to pray. And the other is that they don't sometimes feel the need to pray. And sometimes they're just too wiped out to pray. So I guess three struggles. And the answer to all of them is similar, that we do need to pray. This is one of the reasons why God commands it to us, so that we don't neglect it. And He doesn't demand a lot. I mean, He doesn't ask you to come up with some fantastic, florid prayer. A simple prayer is enough. God, have mercy on me. I'm Yours. Save me. Look down upon me in favor. Just simple phrases like that, when you don't know what to say, are a way to reorient yourself and open yourself to God's giving, even when you don't feel like you deserve it or you have the energy or what have you.
All right, then this is the kicker that many people find the most difficult, whether it's eating right or exercising or any kind of thing that involves discipline, what is the benefit of discipline? Some sort of a, I don't know, a structure, to put it in more neutral terms, for the life of prayer?
Well, I think without structure, the life of prayer falls apart very quickly. It's like anything else in our lives. If we don't have a routine, we're not going to do it. I mean, we're taught as very young children that you need to brush your teeth every day, preferably twice a day. If you don't get in the routine of doing that, you're not going to remember that this is good for you and you need to do it. And prayer is like that, too, more important than brushing your teeth. We're talking here about the health of the soul. But we need a routine. We need a pattern. And Luther actually gives excellent suggestions for this. He gives a simple form to pray in his catechism, where he says, when you get up in the morning, make the sign of the cross, say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is, again, to remind you who you are, that you're the baptized, you have a right to do this. And then he gives you an instruction for a simple prayer. Same thing at night. And I think that's a good way to start, is to start simply. Just like when you're on a diet, you don't cut out everything bad all at once. You do it little by little. Or when you're exercising, you build little by little as you go. And I think that's true with prayer, too. You start out simple, establish a pattern, and then add to it as you get stronger.
Now, someone says, I've seen that catechism stuff, Pastor Kind. It's really simple. I mean, it's make the sign of the cross, like you said, say the Lord's Prayer, maybe sing a hymn. Luther has a little prayer for the opening of the day. That's really simple. That's what you're talking about? That's a good prayer life?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because this structure, though it's really simple, opens you up to the pattern of praying that can then be enriched as you go later on in life. So once you get used to doing that, in other words, once you've gotten, you know, past the sort of 10 reps, you can add reps. So you can add in psalmody, you can add in other parts of scripture, you can add in other hymnody. You can even, I mean, if you're really serious, you can pray the what's called the Liturgy of the Hours, the seven prayers a day that are kind of almost full-blown liturgies for a person. But I certainly wouldn't suggest somebody start with that. You've got to start out small. And don't mock it because it's small. This is going to establish an important pattern for you.
Before we let you go, with about a minute here, Pastor Kind, you serve at University Lutheran Chapel in St. Paul, Minnesota. Give us an update on the current status of University Lutheran Chapel. Many of our listeners are aware of the fact that your building was kind of sold out from under you. What's the current status of the congregation and its building?
Yeah, well, by God's grace, we're doing okay. We did lose the building. It's been torn down, and a huge apartment complex is being built where it was. You can't even tell there's a church there anymore. But we were blessed to be able to purchase an old sorority house just a block away, which we're renovating right now to use as a student house and as sort of the center for our congregation. And we're hoping we'll be able to build a church right next to it. We were able to get an empty lot with it, and we need to purchase a little more land, and then we're hoping to build. We're going to have to raise a lot of money to do it, unfortunately, but that's just the cost of things in Minneapolis. But by God's grace, we're doing okay. The congregation's holding together. We have worship every Sunday. We have a full calendar of Bible studies during the week and activities for the students. So he's really seen us through this.
Pastor David Kind is pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he's author of an article in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Beautiful Thing. Pastor Kind, keep up the good work, and our best to you and all those at University Lutheran Chapel.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch. There's an ad campaign that's running in major cities that is aimed at redefining a word, the word jihad. We'll see what he thinks about that on the other side of the break. 10 more minutes of Issues Etc. right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California, Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas, Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.